All right, Jill, super honored to have you on. After watching you out at the Mid-State, I was like, okay, we got to get Jill on the podcast because I know someone that pushes through what you push through out there, and we'll get into all that a little bit later, but someone that's gone through that has been through some things and reached out to you, and it just so happens that you've had some storms that you've gone through that really kind of helped you through life, or that you've dealt with. And so this podcast is all about facing storms. And so just for those fans of yours who might be tuning in to see what Jill has to say, I just want to set this up because they're wondering, what's the Inspired Way podcast? It's really about facing the storms of life with passion, strength, and courage. And it's lessons that we can learn by watching a cow and a buffalo. A cow will run the opposite direction, trying to avoid the storms at all costs, which increases the amount of time and stress and frustration and pain that they have to deal with that storm. A buffalo sees the exact same storm, faces the storm, heads into the storm. Storm passes over the top of them, decreasing the amount of time, stress, frustration, and pain that they have to deal with that storm. Still deal with it, but it's decreased. And I wouldn't, I was going to say you've been a buffalo. There's some things in your life where you've had to deal with, you've dealt with them, you've faced them, but we all have moments of where we've been a cow too. And we all have to work through those things and deal with it instead of just avoiding them. So I'm just super honored to have you on because you showed that you were a true buffalo out there on Mid-State course. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get to know Jill a little bit because I'm new to who you are too. Like I said, I saw you out there and I was like, wow, okay, this girl, she's got a strong mindset and a strong will. So let's have her on, learn a little bit more about you. So tell the listeners a little bit about and myself a little bit about you and how you were brought up and what created who created Jill to be who she is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. One thing I do love, you know, when I do go to a lot of races, it's, you know, people do kind of say, because I'm new to the running community, it's like, who is this girl? Like, and I love to make a mark. And now it's like, all right, now Tennessee knows me. You know, at first when I moved back to PA, I was like, who is this girl? Then I made a mark there. So now I'm like, okay, gotta keep making my mark. So a little about me. I'm actually going to be 30 here in about on July 8th, so in a couple of
Cool.
weeks. So I guess you could say for some people I'm a young buck, but I don't know.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah, thank you. So I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, but you know when I was there, I didn't really do much running or anything like that. But I was a big athlete growing up. The two main sports that I focused on was basketball and field hockey. Now, growing up though, playing those sports, I was always like the fast person. I was the point guard on the basketball team. I was super fast playing field hockey. I was like our number one scorer. I was super fast on there. You know, when we did like preseason, we had to run 2 miles for field hockey. I was always the first person to win. So running was always kind of came quote unquote like natural to me, but I never like, wanted to join a cross country team or anything. I was like, I just like to play contact sports. I don't want to run. So, but yeah, growing up, I also had a brother, older brother, who's about 3.5 years older than me. And then along with growing up, I had three cousins, boys. And then in the summertime, it was always us four. And then we had like three other guy, like I kind of call them my cousins, but they're with us as well. So it was really like seven boys and me growing up. And so kind of like what it reminded me of Missy is like I'm always trying to keep up with the boys. So we would play basketball and soccer, all these sports, and I'm the only girl like all summer long. So I've just been used to that. I think that's where I got my competitive edge and where I got to be athletic because it was just like, I'm not a cheerleader. I'm not nothing against cheerleading, but I was just like, no, I gotta like play a contact sport. So I would definitely say the my cousins and my brother definitely kind of made me who I am. Plus my dad has always been, he was a big jock in high school, and captain of football, baseball teams and stuff like that. So he always pressured me and my brother, like, you gotta do well, like you gotta do good at sports. So yeah, that was me growing up. And then I went to college in Lock Haven, which is up in Pennsylvania. And there I pursued a degree, a bachelor's degree in what they call recreation management with a focus on fitness management, which is pretty much like exercise science. And so I knew I just wanted to stay in fitness and sports. After that, after I graduated, I moved down to Florida for 6 years. And there I ended up, working in the corporate side of fitness, coaching, doing all that. End up becoming a CrossFit coach. And, we can kind of go into that then as to how I joined CrossFit. But yeah, I got into CrossFit and really didn't do much running there. It was just like Sunday run days, like three and a half miles, like nothing big. And then I ended up moving back home about the end of 2020, back to Pennsylvania. And then I moved down here to Nashville last year. And now I'm just kind of here coaching and doing stuff, still trying to figure out my life, and running's been a big part. And I'm like, I think I want to get into like coaching, like runners and things like that. So, yeah.
So what got you into, or what took you down to Tennessee, I guess?
Yeah. So I pursued a coaching, I got into a gym and was coaching there. It just wasn't the best fit for me. So I ended up leaving that gym. So now I'm just kind of honestly kind of doing some things on my own. I picked up another job at another gym. But I have a very entrepreneur mindset.
Yeah.
And I want to start something on my own.
That's cool.
And it's just like, it's like, where do I start? And I know where everyone, it's like, you just got to start somewhere. So I'm still kind of dabbling in the thing. So we'll see. But I've always wanted to like move to Nashville. I don't know why. I thought when I visited here one time, everyone was super, super nice. So
Yeah. Very cool. So, and I know, just following you for a little bit that I have, and we've talked offline that, I love the buildup in your, I can see where the competitive edge comes in, by the way. I mean, as you were describing it, I was teeing that question up in case you didn't mention it, but because I can totally see now, like, okay, being around seven guys, there's gotta be some competitive edge in there somewhere. And I saw that play out a couple of weekends ago as well. And so that's very cool to see that. And so what role, and I know that, I know you lost your mom, and that was something that you've gone through, a storm that you've gone through and such. So what was your relationship with your mom, and how did that really kind of fire you up to where you are today? Or, 'cause I know like these guys helped with your, maybe your competitive edge, but how did that role with your mom play?
Yeah. So my mom was my best friend growing up. Like, I mean, up till when she passed, I was 23. She was only 53 years old. She passed away unexpectedly from a stroke. She had a stroke on a Wednesday, and then that Saturday ended up passing away. And I was at the time living in Florida. So I ended up flying home, and my parents were high school sweethearts. My dad knew nothing really but her. And so it was just super hard for our family to lose like the queen of the family. And so I was someone who called my mom like 3 times a day. It was just like it's like stupidest questions, like, mom, how do I do this? What do I do? Like, and it was like a mother-daughter relationship. My dad and I weren't super close growing up either. It was like, hey dad, how do I do this with my car? Or like, So when she passed, it was really hard for me. And I tried therapy, like talking to somebody, and at the time, I think it was just too soon. It didn't really help me. So that's when I ended up joining CrossFit. And I was just like, I was already coaching like lots of boot camp classes. I was already in the fitness industry, but I was like, how can I do something in a healthy way to get the anger out? Because I think at the time I was just more angry at the fact that my mom passed away. Why did God take her? She's not doing all these hardcore drugs. She's not doing, there was nothing wrong with her.
Sure.
And so I ended up joining CrossFit, and I was just like, I need to lift some heavy weights. There are some barbells around, do all this. And I ended up falling in love. It was just for me at the time, the perfect type of therapy.
It was the outlet
I needed.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was the outlet that I needed, something that like, I don't really show I don't really cry much, and not that it's bad that if you do, but I was like,
sure.
I just wanted to like, if I need to cry, I wanted to do it like during the workout and just get it out. So that was the best outlet for me, was doing CrossFit. And within like a few months, I ended up getting my certification and coaching. And that like really helped me keep my mind distracted. And like I said, I ran too, just like really only on Sundays, but it was just kind of like my active rest day. But it just running always was my outlet too, was to just run, get my mind clear. Like I said, just distract me, I think, from the pain. And then that's when, and we can talk when everyone talk about it, but like, that's where then kind of my Adderall type of addiction came in too, because I was just trying to, again, distract myself from the pain I was in. So, yeah.
So let's go there real quick. So like, where did that come in? Were you diagnosed at a younger age, or were you diagnosed later, you know, or was that just something you went to help focus during that time? Where did that come into play? Yeah.
So I was prescribed it for many years. You know, I took it like I should, especially like in college, I really needed it and stuff. But I mean, I always say, I think a lot of us have some form of ADHD or ADD, just, I mean, the world now, it's so, how can you not be distracted? but when my mom passed, I tried, just like anyone else probably would, they would try depression medication, anxiety medication. Like, I have anxiety in general, always have. But the depression really just got worse. Again, it's a normal thing. But I didn't want to feel, I'm like, I am not a sad person. I work in the fitness industry. I need to pump people up. I need to coach people. And I just didn't want to feel it. So none of the like depression medication was really helping me. At least I didn't think it did. So I already had this prescription, and it was kind of like that high feeling, anything that made me feel good. So I would take it, and it helps focus you, but I just would take more. So once I was like off that high, I would take one pill that I'm supposed to every day. I was like, nope, I don't want that high to come off. So I take more and take more. So that was just, again, like my outlet. Well, it just became, you know, in July, actually July 3rd coming up here, it'll be 2 years that I've been off of it. And I just realized, you know, 2 years ago, like, who am I? Like, I'm not this person to do this. You know, I was never a big drinker. I'm not some pill pop in person. I was just like, I'm an athlete. Like, this is not, and my clients would look at me all the time, be like, man, you have so much energy. Like, it's 4 a.m. And like, deep down, it's like, I was hiding something. I was like, this is not who I am.
Did you feel, it sounds like you did, but I just want to like clarify that. So did you feel like, okay, I'm taking this to help energize me to feel peppy or whatever, to do whatever you needed to do?
Yeah, no, it definitely helped, but in reality, it wasn't really helping the pain. I mean, maybe temporarily, but like in the long run, it wasn't like I'd be off it. I also was dating a guy for 3 years during the time, and it was a bad relationship. And so it was just all at once where it was just, you know, I just was taking these pills to, you know, distract myself. And I just was like, one day I finished my last bottle, and I was like, never again. And they say, you know, if you read studies and stuff, they say not to go cold turkey, but everyone's body's different. And I was just like, and honestly, that's where running, then I started to pick up more running. I started walking a lot more. And I was like, I'm somebody who is constantly moving. My brain's always going. So how can I, you know, if I'm not relying on this pill, I would just like at work, get up and walk every hour. Or then on Sundays, I'd add a mile every Sunday. So again, I would only run on Sundays, but I would like, okay, how can I challenge myself each week? So yeah, I just had to keep moving.
Yeah. I was curious how you combated the, you know, the ADHD tendencies or whatever, those characteristics to, you know, you drop off over here on cold turkey of Adderall, and yet your brain is still going to keep going and want some of that stimulus. Yeah. So what were you were doing to stimulate that spike that you added, you know, hey, another mile in this, or get up and walk, do some things that would distract the brain or stimulate the brain, really is what it's doing. Yeah. It's stimulating the brain to have that dopamine. So now that's really cool. So how did you, how did you eventually, because it sounds like you did a lot of masking, and how have you dealt with your mom's, you know, passing, and where are you at today, and what helped you? Was it ultimately the CrossFit? I know initially it was the outlet. It was the thing to kind of help kind of get your mind off of it. But has it really helped you come full circle with that?
You know, every day, I think I still struggle, to be honest. Like, I don't, you know, we just hit like 6 years in February. And some days I get down and I'm like, why? It's been 6 years, but it feels like just yesterday she passed. And like, why do I not feel better? Why is this not getting easier? I listen to podcasts. I read books about like grief and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I should be on a better path, but then sometimes I'm like, you know what, everyone's healing journey is going to be different. You know, I've gone back to therapy too. And that definitely does help. But honestly, for me, I think it's surrounding myself with like people. And so when I first moved, like last year, actually, well, when I moved back to Pennsylvania, cause I got laid off down in Florida, that's what happened. And they were selling my condo. So I moved back home. And I haven't lived at home since like high school. And honestly, it kind of took me back a little bit because I was like, this is so weird. My mom's not here. It felt really empty and it was really hard to live at home. But again, I just had to keep moving. And that's where like I started running more actually. Like in 2020 at the end, like in December, I posted something on Strava that was like, I just ran 8 miles. That was my longest run. And then like last year, I run like a 25K. And so it's like, I'm new to this stuff, but you know, And then when I moved finally to Tennessee, I didn't know a single soul here. And it was really hard because like, all I wanted to do was call my mom and just like help me through a lot of stuff. And I couldn't, and there's still times I still want to call her. And I get jealous, especially like Mother's Day. I see people like their moms and daughters, and so I honestly, like, I'm not going to like beat around the bush. Like I still struggle really bad this day. But if I surround myself with very support people, like I told Becca, like that past weekend at Mid-State really helped me because I don't really have close friends here yet because I just moved here not too long ago, but that really helped me. Like that running community really like picked up my spirits that I needed. So if I just surround myself with people that like kind of do what I do, then it gets me back up and moving. So,
you know, I love that. And what comes to mind, and I share this on the podcast often, is, you know, when we're going through a storm, we're not supposed to go through it alone. Like you never see a lone buffalo going into the storm. It's the entire herd. Mm-hmm. A herd goes through the storm. And when we're going through a storm, when we're going through something, we're struggling with something, we need to let others know. We need to surround ourselves with the right herd. We need to surround it because we can surround ourselves with the wrong herd. And that could be the herd of cows over here, right? Taking us the wrong direction. Yeah. But as long as we surround ourselves with good quality people that are lifting us up, that are encouraging us, that are lending us their strength, you know, because the strength of the herd comes from the strength of the buffalo, and the strength of the buffalo comes from the strength of the herd. Mm-hmm. So it's like if I'm in the midst of a storm and I'm going through something and I let my other buffaloes know, my other guys know, like, hey, I'm struggling in this area, I need your help. They're going to lend me their strength and I can lean on that. And so I love that you said that because there are storms that we go through that are longer. There are things that happen in our lives that we kind of, for lack of a better term, struggle through. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's when we need to be open, honest with others and say, hey, I need you during this time, and actively seeking those people out. Like you said, mm-hmm. you know, finding that community to surround yourself with. And you're right, man, Mid-State's community was amazing. It was amazing to be around that kind of people. And mm-hmm. it's one of the reasons why I go every single year.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
So very cool. So it sounds like 2020 was a very pivotal year for you. You know, having the move and then, you know, making the decision to face really to face that storm of the addiction and say, no, I'm no more. We're going to hit this head on. And you started running, you started getting more active with some other things. And so would you agree? Was that a pivotal time for you? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And like, because I got laid off too. And then, you know, I decided in the middle of a pandemic, you know, when I'm just home by myself with my dog to just get off this pill, when it's probably the easiest thing to just stay on it. But I was just like, no, I gotta, cause I'd like look in the mirror and just cry. I'm like, I didn't know who I was without being on that pill. And I'm like, I cannot rely on a pill to live the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I mean, that right there is a buffalo move in and of itself, right? That's awesome. That's when you buffaloed up. I love it. That's cool. So let's transition then. So you're in the fitness world, you're doing CrossFit, you're coaching, you're doing amazing things there, but then you step into running. So 2020, you said you went for your first run, 8 miles. And then when was it that you go, okay, was it then that 8 mile run that you were like, okay, I think I want to try this more. What were your steps after that? Like, did you like find a race to do, or was it just like finding other people to run with?
Yeah. So like I said, when I first moved home, you know, I always work out every single day. And then Sundays is like my Sunday run day. And every Sunday, I just either, my goal was to get faster, which I'm pretty fast runner, or just increase by a mile. So I just remember, like, I don't know, I hit like 8 miles, and it was, cause I think down in Florida, I only did maybe two races, like a 5K, and I did, it's like a Skyway 10K. And I did that. So I posted like, I did 8 miles, like longest run, but, no, I never signed up for a race. And then so 2021 came again, just kind of, I think actually, no, New Year's Eve or like right before 2021, my goal was, okay, I can do 8 miles. I'm going to just get a half marathon in. Like, I set goals for myself. So where I live in the middle of nowhere, lots of hills, but I got a half marathon in. Okay. So now we're in 2021, and again, haven't signed up for any races, but there's a race. So we have a cabin up in Pennsylvania. It's in the area called Lock Haven. It's where I went to college. We have a cabin about 15 minutes up the mountain. And there's a huge, like, popular race that's called Heiner. And there's a Heiner 25K and a 50K. And my professor in college used to always talk about it. Like, I've heard about it. My cousins, the three boy cousins I told you about, they do it every year. They've done it for the last 10 plus years. And again, I'm very competitive. I'm like, okay, I can do this stuff now. And I want to prove to them, like, I can do it. But by that time, when I looked, like, that this race sells out fast. Like, you have to sign up a whole year ahead of time.
Oh, wow.
And, but because of COVID and everything, a lot of people like deferred their race for the next year and all this stuff. So they actually reopened it. And my friend, so it was in April, my friend texted me in like March. I was like, hey, I know you've been into running. I've been seeing your stuff. I don't know if you're interested, but like Heiner just reopened. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, our cabin is 15, 20 minutes away. I can stay there. And I've always wanted to do it, but I don't even have trail sneakers. Like, I don't have shoes. I just have road. Like, I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't know anything about trail. So it's just like, I'm a very last minute sign up person. Like, you'll get to know me. I sign up very last minute. And so I signed up. It was like beginning of March. Went and got trail shoes, had no clue what, like, I just went to the sneaker place near me. It was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, but
I love that.
And I got my like first pair, had like talked to friends about like, okay, what water pack should I get? So I signed up for this 25K. And then my one like girlfriend in the area was like, why don't you join our Tuesday night trail running team, like group? I was like, okay. So they run 5 miles every two. It's a social run. So it's, you know, and I like got to know these people a lot. Like, they are my best friends. Like, we're on a Facebook group chat now. That's and cool. Talk to them every day. And so I joined them, and a bunch of them were doing Heiner. So I go up to Heiner then, And I'm just running this thing. I have no clue. I have no clue about the course. Many people who do this thing have done it like forever. And I'm going, no clue what I'm expecting. And my cousins end up deferring their thing till next year. So I didn't run with them. So I'm again up there by myself, know nobody. And I get done and the one girl, she's like past me on the course, coming the other way for some reason. She's like, keep going. She's like, you got about one more mile. And she's like, you're in second place, you're second place female. Again, I have no clue. I'm just running this course. Like, I don't even know. And so I finished and I'm second place female. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're so good. Like,
who's this girl?
Yeah, like, who's this girl on this course? And then I looked
kind of like Mid-State. Everybody was like, who's this girl?
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I don't know. But, and I looked at the stats. I was only like 2 minutes behind the first place girl.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, and I was like 30th overall out of, I don't know, there's maybe 300-400 people. And I was like, okay, I can hang with the big people. Like,
yeah,
this is what's up.
Hang out with the grownups.
Yeah. So I got to know like a bunch of people because everyone came up to me afterwards, like asking who I was.
Yeah.
And so then after that, because I was still laid off that year, we have a cabin right up there. So I ended up just, there was the race director up there, Craig Fleming, awesome dude. He puts on a lot of races. I just signed up for basically, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 more other ones.
Wow.
And I ended up winning like first female in a lot of those. Mm. And that was great. Like that just got my spirits up. I was like, okay, yeah. Like, all right. So yeah, I just ended up just doing more of those. But again, I never did anything more than a 25K in running. But then I moved to Nashville and did my first marathon, my first road marathon. I moved here November 1st and there was a marathon like 2 or 3 weeks later. I was just like, again, last minute, I signed up at the registration. I had to go to the event and signed up. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. Why not?
Yeah.
And I signed up and I actually qualified for Boston on my first marathon.
What? And,
yeah. My time was like 3:17.
Dude, people like try for years to qualify. She qualifies in her first attempt, like, as a walk up. That's awesome.
They're like, you just qualify for Boston. I was like, again, I don't know. I just got there. And that's, I don't even impressive. Have like the, now I have like the nice Nike shoes, but sure. I was running and like not the greatest. So I'm just starting to learn more and more, but running just became, you know, just kind of natural. And then now we're in 2022. So I did Heiner again, but this time I was like, all right, I need to challenge myself more. And I did the 50K. Heiner.
Okay. Yeah.
And very competitive. I was like, all right, I'm winning first female. But this is where, and I still need to learn my nutrition. You know, 10 miles in, yeah. I didn't take any nutrition. I didn't take in anything. I didn't take any water. So I was like, I feel fine. But it definitely hit me later on.
It compounds.
I was like, yeah, I was like first female for the first 14 miles. And then this girl passed me. And then a couple girl, other girl, I ended up becoming, what, fourth, fifth female? Mm-hmm. Kind of was hard on me, but I was like, all right, this is a lesson learned. Yeah. So that was my last race. And then Mid-State.
So what did you learn like from like mentally, what was going, I mean, specifically, do you recall the thoughts that were going through your mind as these girls are passing you and your goal was to finish first and you were running first?
Yeah.
But yet now all of a sudden you see it slipping. Like, where did your mind go?
Yeah.
And what did you learn from that?
Well, the first 13, 14 miles, me and this one girl were going back and forth and I'm super competitive. I'm like, nah, like this girl, like if she passed me, I'd speed up. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have 30 some miles. I cannot do this the whole 30 some miles. Mm. And, but my mind is like, I'm always just trying to get like ahead, but I think I'm thinking about it too much sometimes. So anyways, once she passed me and my body was dropping fast and I just didn't have enough energy. I was like, okay, I'll get second female, even though I was not okay with it. I was like, okay. But then we came up on the 25K people. It's just how the course is made. You kind of like collide with them.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks. that's how I got passed by two more people, because I was trying to be the nice runner and not go around the 25K. And then these other girls behind me were like, screw it, we're going around them on a single lane track. And it was hard because, like, mentally I kind of put myself down, but my body just could not go. And I was like, but honestly, in those times, like when I feel like I can't go, like even in mid-state or anything like that, when it's like, you feel like your body is shutting down. My thing is, like, I always go to, you know, there's people out there who physically cannot do what my body is capable of doing right now. And that's usually gets me going a little bit more. Or like my mom, like she's, you know, she wasn't a runner or anything, but like, she's just not here anymore. You know, how can I got to do this for not only myself, but, you know, make her proud. So it's just like, I'm always thinking about those people who just literally cannot do what I can do. And it's like, I feel like I'm dying, quote unquote dying, but I'm not. Like, I'll be okay. In the moment it sucks, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Now, before we jump into mid-state, cause we'll transition into mid-state here real quick. Was the Heiner, was that the one where it was a mountain where you had to climb up the trail? Like, and it was pretty high climbing too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was the elevation gain? Do you remember?
I think it was close. I thought it was more, but I think it's only close to like 8,000.
Okay.
Felt like a lot more.
Yeah. I'm sure it feels like a lot when you're on a 50K. So.
Yeah.
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 Oh, awesome. So, well, how did you learn? Let's transition to mid-state. How did you learn of mid-state? That, well, obviously you're in the area now, but is that how you heard about it?
No, you know, I was just Googling races and I hadn't seen anything. I was telling the guy who was there, he also did the race, Ryan Kirk. He did the race with me. I think he tapped out maybe 25 or 27 miles. And then he stayed there to help crew me. Mm-hmm. He's like one of my best friends down here. And he, I just been looking for races and I couldn't find anything. And then this one popped up and I remember seeing something, a video of this before. And I was just like, this format looks so cool. I've never done this type of format. I'm going to sign up. And it was like literally a month before. And I signed up and I was on the wait list. And I I messaged my, they're called York Ridge Runners. That's my running group back home. I messaged all of them. And I was like, guys, should I do this? This is actually before I knew I was going to get on the wait list. So like, just get on the wait list, Jill. What do you know? Like the next day, like not even 24 hours, it's like, congratulations, you're in. And I'm like, oh shoot. Like, what do I do? Like, I was like, I didn't think I'd get in. Like, it's only a month away. Like, there's no way.
I know a few other runners that happened to them as well. They're like, oh crap, we're actually in now.
I was like, oh no. And I was like, I can't do this by myself. Like, I don't know anybody. Like, and so they're like, yeah, Jill, do it, do it. I was like, okay. So I texted, I had two guy friends who did it, my friend Ryan and Jake. And thank God they did it. So I actually knew some people. And then we got a couple of our other friends to help crew us. But yeah, I just Googled it and that's how I saw it. But I signed up literally like a month before.
You know, there's a thing here and I just want to highlight before we start dialing in on the race. And there's a theme that I heard from you and then I heard from my previous guest that you were following, which is Eric. And so he says that, you know, a lot of, he just kind of just jumps in and figures things out.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hearing from you too. This theme of just jumping in and figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And that is something that really is a growth mindset, right? Like, okay, I know that I can figure it out. If I can just get in, I'm just going to go in, learn, and we'll go from there. And I love how you have that. He has that. Many other people with growth mindsets have that, you know, mentality where they're not limited by what they don't know. They're only limited by the lack of action that they take. Right. And so the fact that you just jumped in to figure this out, I don't know anything about this race. It looks kind of cool format, but let's just jump in and figure it out. And like, oh, I don't know anything about trail running, but I'm going to sign up for this 25K and I'm going to go buy me some trail shoes and we're just going to figure this thing out. So, and oh, and by the way, I'm just going to play second in the women's. So at the same time. So very cool. I love that. And so here you are at mid-state. Now you're in. And, you know, was your training any different coming into mid-state or what did you do? I mean, a month out, you were just probably running here and there. You weren't really training for Mid-State per se, but like, did it shift once you were in?
No. And so I do CrossFit. And so I've been, was doing a lot of those workouts. But my knee actually, and I kind of have like a plantar fasciitis, I would say, really has been bothering me. My left knee and my right heel. So I've actually been taking, like, normally Saturdays I'd run about 16 miles. Sundays I normally run about 5 to 6 miles with people. And then during the week I'll trickle in some, maybe 5 miles once or twice. I don't run a lot.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But I kind of dialed down on my Saturdays just because my knee and my heel just been really hurting. So I've really only been running like 5 miles here and there. And again, like, I don't know, I was going into this race not knowing anything about it. Mm-hmm. So no, I had no training plan for this race. Okay. I'll be honest.
Like, no, that's cool. That's cool.
I think it was actually Justin out there. Once we hit like 40 miles, I was like, yeah, guys, we're at our longest run I've ever ran. He goes, what? And then he's like, you know, like some of us, like we ran 40 to 50 miles, like as our long running for this train for this. I was like,
yeah,
not me. I just kind of went into this.
that's amazing. So, let's start with you rolling up and I know, cause Mid-State's very different format. It's very different when you show up than any other race. And so the corral or the staging area for the runners, how was that? Like, how did you approach that? What was that like coming in? Like, okay, this is different. This is new. I'm not sure what to expect. Like, what was your mindset coming into the race?
Yeah. So I listened to Chad Wright's podcast.
Yep. Okay.
And so I was like, okay, let me get some ideas. He kind of said, I think he averaged 17, 18 miles or minutes a mile. So I was like, in my mind, I'm a fast runner, but and I know this is a lot of elevation gain and loss. So I've got to slow down a bit. You know, I can't go out there like hard headed and think, you know, I don't need to be first.
Right.
So I was like asking a bunch of guys when I first, the registration on Friday, you know, there was a bunch of people there and I just, you know, I'm not afraid to talk and ask people. I'm like, so have you done this before? Like, what do I expect? And they all like told me, you know, kind of what to expect. But again, you go into it clueless. And I've done several races like that where I have no clue what to do, what I'm going into, but I like it. So yeah. So when we go to the start line, I'm kind of asking people around me like, so when the whistle blows, are you going to run? Are you going to walk? Like, what do we do? Like, I have no clue what to do.
Yeah.
And so people start like running, jogging. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to kind of stay with the pack. But you know, my first, I don't even know, for a while, like many, many miles, I was coming in like 15, 16 miles. And my friend Ryan was like, chill, you're going pretty fast. Do you feel good though? I was like, honestly, I do. Like sometimes going slow is, and especially on my knee, is kind of harder for me. Mm-hmm. It kind of irritates it. Mm-hmm. So I was just going at a pace and I am a fast runner that just felt good for me. Yes, it was, you know, a lot more rest time, but honestly, the rest time didn't feel like a lot.
Yeah.
As soon as he sat down, I was like, if I hear that whistle one more time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was different, but I just kind of was following the crowd at first. And then once you get that first loop out of the way, I was like, all right, this is what I'm expecting. So I remember when John came up to me, maybe after 10 miles, and he was like, so is this what you expected, Jill? Like, is it hard? Cause you don't look like it doesn't look hard for you. And I was like, well, honestly, the Pennsylvania mountains are super hill. Like, I mean, they're hard.
Yeah.
I was like, this just reminds me of that. Like, it's, you know, it's nothing out of like ordinary for me, to be honest. So, but obviously it adds up after a while.
It does. It does add up. So you're right. And the time adds up, you know, because John and Becca and Jeff Forrester and I had dinner Thursday night together. And we were talking about this. We're talking about how those that come in quick, early on in the race, they may be able to make it a little deeper into the race because of their endurance or whatever, but those faster laps, they stack up. It's just this compounding effect on the body, right? That you just, that you don't think about early on, but then throughout the race, it really starts to stack up. And so the challenge of slowing down to maintain that for a longer period of time is hard. It is challenging, but especially when the pace of the group is running at 15, 16, you know, as you feel kind of weird staying way back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very interesting. Just much like how nutrition, hydration, you can get behind on it. Same is true with the time lapse on it. So let's get into like your 10, like you said, you know, 10 miles in or so, and then you start to push into, you know, closer to, you know, 15 miles, the 20 miles. Now the group is very thinned out. You know, it's a lot less than where it was before. What was your mindset going into it? Those laps, as you started to get deeper, you started to see more and more people drop off. Like, where were you at? Where was your mind thinking as far as like where you were at in the race? Did you even know where you were at?
Yeah. Honestly, I had no clue. Like, I wouldn't even know when anyone dropped, really. Like, I felt like the group was, especially like the first few laps, I was like, oh my gosh, this group has got to dwindle down. I can't run with all these people like this. My goal going into it was I wanted to be first female. That's my goal for every race, is to be first female. Mm-hmm. And so I knew the girl, Leah, who won it last year.
Yeah.
I had my eye on her, and like the people who were crewing me, they'd be like, all right, Jill, you're, you know, three more females. Yeah, two more. And then it was like down to her and I. And I was just like, okay, when is she gonna drop? Like, I mean, I had lots of energy, but I just didn't know how she was doing, because I remember like going into like midnight or something, and she's like singing going into like the laps. So I'm like, oh my God, this girl's gonna last forever. And so I knew, again, I'm just very competitive, but I had my eye on her. I was just like, okay, once I'm the last girl, female, then it's just, okay, let's see how far I can go. Let's see how far I can push my body. You know, really at that time, I knew I mentally, physically, I could outlast any female. It didn't matter what, I just knew I could. So that's how it was going into like midnight, into the dark.
Yeah. So how was that? But have you ran in the dark? Did you do any training in the dark or anything? Or was that your first attempt at that?
Really the first attempt, I'd say, because back home, I guess sometimes with my night run, the Tuesday night runs, when it started getting dark early, we would wear headlamps. But I mean, that might be for a half hour. I never really ran in the dark before. So
How was that for you mindset wise? Like, it trips a lot of people out. And I know going into the night, that really gets a lot of people.
Yeah, that was hard. I remember it was being around like two or between, I don't know. I just remember back, I was coming down that first hill and that I was so tired. I don't even know what I said, but she could tell I was tired. And she's like, Jill, the hardest times are between 2 and 5 a.m. Like, you just got to get through it. You got to push. And she's right. Like, because I was thinking, my body, like, I don't work night shift. My body wants to be in bed right now.
Yeah.
And like, that was just the hardest part. I'm like, I can really, like, my body is okay to keep going, but my body is just tired. Like, it's just sleepy. So I was trying to take in some gels that had some caffeine. I started drinking some Coke, which I can't tell you last time I had soda, but I was drinking some, like, just a little bit of caffeine just to get me going. But I would say, those kind of between 2 and 5 was just super hard mentally, because you want to close your eyes.
Yeah. And so what got you through, obviously, you know, the gels or some little caffeine from Coke or whatever, trying to spur that. But what was it, I guess, mentally, because, you know, those things are great for the physical, but like, what was it mentally? Where did you go to push through some of the darkest hours?
Yeah, I think, and honestly, I don't know what hours it was, but it was a good amount of hours. There was just like 7 of us.
I was going to mention that.
I don't know where that came from, to be honest, because we were out there, we called ourselves the 7 dwarfs. Like,
I remember hearing something about the dwarfs.
Because I came up with that, because even Justin, which I still need to talk to him, that truck that was sitting there, you know, on the side, he's like, guys, if I went mid-state, and I need to bring this up to him because he's like, if I went mid-state, I'm going to get a tattoo of that truck and right. seven dwarfs in the truck.
Oh, that's cool. Like,
yeah. So, but yeah. And we were, I remember one of our conversations, we're like, okay, let's name ourselves who's like which dwarf. So it was funny. But I think with all of us just telling stories about each other, we got to know each other. And then Luke was just telling these hilarious stories, even though, let me just tell you, I wasn't cranky, but I was so tired. And Luke had so much energy. You know, when you're just in that room, you're like, oh my God, if this guy talks one more time, like, I don't want to hear a freaking one more story. But then he was such a good storyteller, and he'd like yell in the middle of his stories, and we just knew it was coming. And I'd get back, and Ryan, he was like crewing me. At that point, I was like, Ryan, I don't know if I can do one more ghost story from Luke. But I was like, but honestly, it's somehow keeping me up, like, because it just kept me entertained.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I told Luke that, I was like, Luke, as much as like you have so much energy, I don't know how, somehow you're keeping me awake.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, being in a corral, you don't hear any of that stuff, or, you know, what goes on the course. And and so it's kind of fun to hear some of that, because it's, you know, I always love hearing these stories, or taking, you know, people that do hard things, such as like mid-state, and trying to relate that to life. Like, how can I relate this to my life? Like, and the moments where I get, you know, hearing that, it's like, okay, when I get like, I can't go any further. It's like, okay, who's around me that's funny, or that can help me, you know, back to the herd. Like, who do I have in my herd that I can lean on to give me some laughter? Because laughter is energy. And so it's like, what can I do in those situations? So I love hearing that. But yeah, it was interesting, the name. So Magnificent Seven, the Sexy Six, or something like that. And then,
I don't even know who was coming out with those names, but yeah.
I don't either, but it was funny. So so you go a total of 27 hours and the longest distance ever, like, but I want to hit, you know, which was, I think 89, I wrote it down, 89.1 miles.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unstinking believable. Yeah. But I want to ask, this question before we get out of here, because it was super impressive. Like, to see you sit, you'd come in and you could see it all over you. Like, you're exhausted, and you just plop in the chair. And you'd barely nibble on something. And we know, like, she needs some energy. She needs to eat. And she doesn't even have enough energy to eat. But then I also heard, you know, and you'd get up and you'd go do another lap. And then I would hear you talk about your knee. I would hear you, you know, and I don't mean this in a weird way, but complain about the pain, right? Complain about, oh, I just can't. Oh, no. And you would say, like, no, I'm done. Yeah. No, I can't go. I don't want to go anymore. And then, but the 10 seconds would go, you know, come up and you get up and you go for more. So what was that all about? Like, you know, because I think that's when we hit storms in life, when we hit those moments where we feel like we can't go any further, or we just don't want to go any further. Right. It's like, what did you draw on to do that? Because there's something in all of us that we have, that regardless of the storm, whether it's, you know, it's a conversation that we need to have, or whether it's a physical or emotional or spiritual storm that we're going through and we just don't want to do it anymore. Like, doesn't matter what it is. We have something in us that we can draw on and push through that. And you did that lap after lap after lap. So especially late in the race. So what was that you were drawing on?
Yeah, I think I always want to make like a point for my, like, I don't know how you want to say it, like, be like a legend out there, or make a stand for myself. You know, Becca
did that.
And Becca's always like, Jill, you have all the females watching you. Justin even was telling me, you know, I know my wife's out here supporting me, but honestly, Jill, she's really cheering you on because you're a female out there.
Yeah.
So I know, like, a lot, you know, I'm not only competitive. So one, it's like, okay, now I'm with the boys. I know, especially in races, when I pass a guy, I know they hate that. Like when a girl passes a guy, deep down, I know.
Yeah, ego, inside. Man.
They're like yeah, they're like, oh my God, this girl just like passed me. So the longer I could hang with them, I knew like, and they were super cool. I knew that they knew like, quote unquote, I'm a badass that they kept saying. So I knew the longer that I could hang on, you know, I think it pushed the guys.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh gosh, I got to keep going.
Absolutely.
You know, this chick's still gone. But honestly, I wanted to like prove to, you know, a lot of, not prove really, but show a lot of the females in the running community that, you know, you can really do a lot of things that you set your mind to. I had a lot of females, especially reach out to me after the race. And you know, they were like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I was cheering you on. You know, I'm going for my longest race now. You've inspired me. And that's what it is.
That's
it's
cool.
Just like, you know, just because people think just guys are athletic, but you know, I have an athletic background, but it really comes down to that mindset, you know.
Yes.
It's really a mindset thing. And the more I just, Becca and John were like, Jill, I know you want to give up, but you can keep going. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Like, you know, I can keep doing this. So even though my last lap, I came in with a minute and a half left. And it's like, sometimes now I think back, I'm like, gosh, why didn't I just keep going? But I know at the time I mentally was checked out. And if I'm mentally checked out, it's just like, I don't want to be there anymore. It was just over for me. But really, I just, like I said, I just kind of want to make a point that, you know, if you put your mind to something, keep pushing, you can do anything you want to do. And that's what I was, especially in the female, like running community, that's what I want to show them. Cause I always feel like females can't do as good as guys. And a lot of times, yeah, the guys are probably going to go longer and get faster times, but we can still hang.
Absolutely.
You know, just as long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can set course records. Like you crushed it too. Crushed the course record, which is amazing. Yeah. And some other females going to come along and do the same. Right.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to see you keep pushing those limits and keep doing that. I was going to say, I do recall a moment that I wanted to mention earlier. It was so fun to watch when you were running with the guys and hanging with them lap after lap. And then there was one particular lap, I can't even remember when it was, but you came in and they were all behind you and they were all cheering you. You came in first. You know, I was like,
Well, that was the lap that I told them. I was like, guys, I'm checking out after this. I'm done. And I sat down, you know, I was done. I was sipping on, like, I don't even know what it was. Whatever it was, I think it was some bubbly thing.
It was the Mad Tasty?
Yeah. I don't even know what that was. But again, whatever was sitting in front of me. And I was sipping on that. And there's like, again, like 10 seconds left. And John's like, all right, Jill, let's go. I'm like, I'm not going. He goes, Jill, you're drinking a Mad, what is it called? Mad Tasty?
Mad Tasty.
He's like, you can go. I was like, and I was like, oh my gosh, fine. And the guy's like, what are you doing, Jill? Like, we just did your like victory lap with you. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. But that's like, so my last lap, I actually was then I started walking with Luke and I was like, Luke, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, well, you can turn back, Jill. Don't worry. John's going to pressure everybody. You know, you don't have to listen to him. I said, okay, this is just going to be my recovery lap.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, I'm just going to walk this thing and I'll time out. I just won't make the time. So I said, Luke, go ahead, just go. So he goes, but then in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to do all this hard work and I'm going to climb up this like mountain. And then it's not going to count early. Cause I didn't, you know, the mile or the, cause I'll time out. Like, no, I know I can get back in time. Like I'm hurting, I'm in pain. You know what? Let's just get one more lap here.
Yeah.
So it's like, I climbed up, I walked a little bit more. It was my slowest one out of all of them. But like I said, when I came back, I still had a mile. I still had a minute and a half, but I was just like, I can't, I'm seriously done.
So let me just ask you, if you were to do it all over again, would you do the same thing or would you get up, cross the finish line and time, you know, just and do what you could to get around, whether you made it with 30 seconds to go or less or didn't make it, I should say, with 30 seconds to go. You timed out with 30 seconds because in my mind, you still did that distance. It's just it doesn't keep you in the race, right?
Yeah.
So it would have been you know, 90.2 miles that you completed because you completed it. But the time frame, you just didn't complete it to get this, the luxury,
right,
or the benefit of going again.
yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, would you do that again? Or would you like, I think I'm going to push one more regardless of whether I time out or not.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, I'd be interested if I could do another one after that, because even when I sat down for a second, I couldn't walk, like, even after the race. So I mean, my goal next year going into it is definitely going to be hit 100. It's hard to say, like, I thought I actually went into this. Would I do anything different? You know, it is a good question. Sure. I got to get the nutrition down, to be honest, because my stomach, just like everyone else's, was like turning a little bit. And it's like, it just wasn't comfortable. And sure. I think that's like, I was telling people, I think I gained like 10 pounds that weekend just because, like, it's just a bloating feeling.
Right.
And I don't know. And it's like, how do you train for that? Like, I don't really know. So trying to figure that out is going to be my biggest key. But I am planning on doing, what is it called? The Tennessee Mile. December.
I was going to ask you. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. And so I was just talking to my brother who lives in New Jersey, and I've gotten him into trail racing and running. And so I told him he should come down and either run or crew me or whatever. But I was like, I think I'm going to go for the 40 hour just because it's like, I've already ran 24 hours. I need to go something bigger and then get at least 100 miles in. And then see what I can do. So
there you go. Yeah. You got 40 hours to get 100 miles in. You should be able to do that.
Yeah. But I got to set some course records again.
But I was going to say, but you got to set the course record for females. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, Jill, it's been a pleasure. This was a fun conversation. I love really kind of hearing the history of really your development over, you know, from childhood, from sports that you played there, the mindset that it took you into where you are, the challenges of dealing with, you know, your mother's passing and the honesty of still working through that, but then having the awareness of knowing that I got to surround myself with people and, you know, and then facing that storm of the Adderall and saying, no, enough's enough. And I'm putting a stop to that. And it's so cool. It's such a testament to who you are. And you showed that out there at Mid-State, and you showed up and you showed up in the fashion of who you are, which is really cool. So congratulations on setting the course record for females, going the longest distance ever, you know, time on your feet of 27 hours, a distance of, you know, 89.1 miles and whoever knows however many, you know, feet that is. It's amazing. It's pretty impressive. So congratulations on that. And I'm looking forward to seeing you go even farther next year.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I had a pleasure talking to you. It was great.
Absolutely. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.